A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 82, verses 39 to 48. Verse 39. Translation. Shivaji Goswami said, while gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of their idols, which would momentarily block their vision of him. Now, seeing Krishna again after such a long separation, with their eyes, they took him into their hearts, and there they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on him. Although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. Mukam karoti vacham pandalam hepu yati pantanam vande shivam tam. Om agyana timiram yasya agyanan shala shala kala chakshuri tanyana samatma shivam. So before we discuss today's verses, does anybody remember something from yesterday's class or classes that we had? Yes?
Some of the qualities of Krishna you discussed in the class include only love controls Krishna.
Controlled by love.
Yeah. And whatever services we do get magnified.
Okay, services get magnified. Parvati?
Yeah, everyone who saw Krishna at the eclipse became immediately very happy.
Whoever saw Krishna became very happy immediately, yes?
When Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya, they saw Krishna and Balram, they just immediately ran to embrace him, and so did they. They did not, wait, pay obeisances. It was just very spontaneous.
They
just ran to each other and embraced each other.
Yes, no formalities there. And yes, bye-bye.
When Mashoda put Krishna on her lap, then she became oblivious to everything, even though Devaki and Rohini was trying to attract her attention.
They're trying to talk to her, but she was completely gone. And so was Krishna and Balaram. So were Krishna and Balaram. They were completely in their own trance together.
All the devotees were very affectionate to each other.
And they were talking about Krishna only. Yes?
Krishna and Balaram were very concerned about the safety and security of Brajvasis, as usual. So they told the kings to go away, and they met them in a very secluded, isolated place.
Yes, so they were concerned for the protection of the Brajvasis.
Yes.
So they put them in an isolated place. Yes?
Kunti is success potency of the Lord.
Kunti is success potency of the Lord. Yes. Incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. Anything else from yesterday's classes? Okay. So now the gopis have gotten what they've been waiting for years, years and years. They finally are able to see Krishna face to face. And Shukadev says that they were much more absorbed in... It's much higher than dharana and jnana of the yogis. The yogis could never get such absorption in Krishna as the gopis got. In fact, in Akhtar Devotion, it says Purnamasi is quoted, Lalita Madhava is quoted, and Purnamasi is chastising the gopis, and she's saying, you are so unfortunate. You're trying to get rid of Krishna from your mind, and the yogis are trying to get Krishna in their mind, and you are trying to get rid of him. And so this is the This is the gopis. So let's read the purport. According to Sri Vishnu Chakravarti, just then Lord Balaram saw the gopis standing a short distance away. Seeing them trembling with eagerness to meet Krishna and apparently ready to give up their lives if they could not, he tactfully decided to get up and involve himself elsewhere. Then the gopis attained the state described in the current verse. And referring to the gopis' intolerant disrespect of Lord Brahma, the creator of islands, Shukadeva Goswami is giving vent to his own subtle jealousy of the gopis' favored position. So that's kind of hard to understand, that he's saying that because he's envious of the gopis' position. Anyway, that's what Vishnu Chakravarti says. Srila Jiva Goswami offers an alternate understanding of the phrase Nitya Yujam, which may mean even of the Lord's principal queens who tend to be proud of their constant association with Him. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, because they have been separated from Krishna for so many years, the gopis, having come along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, felt intense ecstasy in seeing Krishna. No one can even imagine how anxious the gopis were to see Krishna again. As soon as Krishna became visible to them, they took him inside their hearts, through their eyes, and embraced him to their full satisfaction. Even though they were embracing Krishna only mentally, they became so ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy that for the time being they completely forgot themselves. The ecstatic trance which they achieved simply by mentally embracing Krishna is impossible to achieve even for great yogis constantly engaged in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna could understand the gopis were rapt in ecstasy by embracing him in their minds, and therefore, since he's present in everyone's heart, he also reciprocated the embracing from within. So that proves that the form of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. If he appears in your mind, then it's non-different from Krishna, at least for the gopis. It's non-different. For us also, but we just don't realize it. We don't realize that if we think of Krishna, then it is Krishna. Or if we chant Krishna's name, it is Krishna. It's not different. That takes a while to realize. So Nectar of Devotion describes this scene. The gopis, their breathing, blinking of the eyes, and all similar activities stopped. They stopped breathing. They stopped blinking their eyes. And they stood before Krishna just like statues. This is an instance of a disease condition resulting from exuberant transcendental pleasure. So finally they get to see Krishna, and then they get diseased out of ecstasy. It's one of the, I think it's third to last. There's disease, then unconsciousness, then death, and the ecstatic symptoms. So I'll just read now from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse is actually quoted, I believe. So I'll read some verses where this is discussed. From Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 4, 152, and it goes on until 156. And it describes the gopis. And Krishna, and blinking the eyes and this. Atyat pavan apnipanam chuti yugayate chan pakashakam kuti lakantam shimukam chate ja udishatam pakshmakti disham. The gopis said, O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hair, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us. And we consider the Creator who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you to be simply a fool. Now this is quoted from 10.31.15, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then, Sisi. Krishna valokam vina nita falana vipan. Jejaram Krishna dekha There is no consummation for the eyes other than the sight of Krishna. Whoever sees him is most fortunate indeed. And then they quote from Venugit. Akshanatam falamidam naparam vidama satya kashuna nuvivesha natorvayasya bhaktam vajesha sutaya arivenjustam yarvani pitamanina ataksha moksham. O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. So Srila Prabhupada said a very interesting thing in his comment on that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is for us. It says, like the gopis, one can see Krishna continuously if one is fortunate enough. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said the sages whose eyes have been smeared with the ointment of pure love can see the form of Shama Sundara, Krishna, continuously in the centers of their hearts. This text from Bhagavatam was sung by the gopis on the advent of the Sharat season. So there's one more verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that is also quoted from Bhagavatam 10:44-14. Kopyastapakim macharanyaramusharupam lavanyasaramasamod amanam yasitham drikhi pibant anisavapyavandarakam ekantadhamayashasashiyakaisasya. The women of Mathura said, what austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. So in the purport, we heard about Nitya Yujam, and there was a meaning given. Also the queens. Even the queens could not get this samadhi or this trance. So Vishnu Chakravarti from Sarartha Darshini says about the gopis, though they had the highest respect for everyone and any demigod, they could curse the chief of all the demigods. So this is the gopis. Such was their intolerance of their separation. So they were so mad in separation. They were cursing the demigods. But this implies anger at Krishna, because for giving the separation to them, since he's the ultimate creator. So their anger at Brahma was indirectly actually directed to Krishna. You actually made us separated. So then Vishnu says, pulling Krishna with their glances, with their eyes as doorways, they made him enter their heart, embraced him, and attained rare mahabhav. And this is also, the sense of oneness is also Nitya Yujam. Or, see, I am Krishna. That was the highest stage of madness. So many meanings he gives. Another meaning is that Nitya Yujam means better than the yogis, like Shiva. And there's another hint of anger at Krishna, because Krishna is now going to teach the gopis Adhyatma Jnana, the same kind of message that Uddhava sent them, just what they need. They meet him, and then now he's going to tell them, about Jnana again. So they didn't want to hear it. So let's see what Gopal Champu says about what's going on here. Verse 35. In going to Kurukshetra to see Krishna, the gopis had their eyes closed. Then they opened their eyes. Then they fainted. Then they walked fast. Then they cried. So this is how they were going from Vrindavan to Kurukshetra. Crying, fainting, closing their eyes and walking, opening their eyes. Filled with longing, a moment seemed like a kalpa for them. So now when Krishna came to meet the gopis, interestingly enough, he put Uddhava in front. Says, putting Uddhava in front, Krishna, the dark cloud, rose very gently and brought to life the Chataka bird gopis. Krishna looked at the gopis. They were thin, with unkempt bodies, wearing old, worn-out clothing. So this we don't get in Srimad Bhagavatam, but they haven't been keeping themselves nicely, obviously. Their hair was falling over their faces. Krishna became dizzy and took support of Uddhava. Weeping for a long time, he did not understand when he had come, why he came, what he was doing, and what had happened. Because he didn't know when, what, why, who, anything. He forgot everything when he saw the gopis. When they glanced at his limbs on that long night, how can it be described? When the four eyes of Krishna and the gopi met, quickly her heart and her two eyes would become stunned. Who can describe the transformations of love that the gopis, filled with thirst because of the fire of long separation, achieved on seeing him? They cursed King Nimi for causing obstruction to seeing him by the blinking of their eyes. So not only Brahma got it. King Nimi, it is a footnote, he was cursed to leave his body, and then he occupied the bodies of all beings, causing them to blink their eyes. So we can also, we have two people to blame here now for blinking of the eyes. Radha fainted on climbing onto a cart at Kurukshetra because of her great longing. Krishna also fainted. The fragrance of his limbs, which conquered her as she looked at him, made the other gopis also faint. Everyone fainted. When Radha and Krishna met, the symptoms of being stunned, perspiration, hair standing on end, choked voice, trembling, loss of color, tears and fainting occurred. These symptoms spread to the other gopis too. So everybody, it was just like a real scene. In great distress, Uddhava, after a long time, managed to revive them. So good thing Uddhava was there to help out. He revived the gopis and Krishna. With affection and care, he made them sit together in front of him. Their limbs faded because of emotions, their beauty lost because of tears welling up from inside. When the gopis looked at Krishna's feet with longing, he began wiping away their tears and skillfully made the gopis happy. In a solitary place at Kurukshetra, Krishna embraced and kissed the lotus-eyed gopis, wiped away their tears, asked how they were, and began praising them while comforting them. Oh, dearest gopis, this first separation has been most difficult for me. It is not surprising it was possible I die. What is surprising is that you maintain your life in prolonged separation to attain me. For that, I praise you continually. Why did you remain suffering on seeing me within yourselves? Did you not see me? They say, I was inside. I was coming to you. Why didn't you see me? Again he spoke. Let everyone with faulty vision say that my form remains as previously with all its qualities. If you, by good fortune, see me, will you see the taste for the rasa pastime still there? Slightly raising their hundreds of eyes simultaneously, they looked at him. Identifying with her early profound sorrow, they became greatly distressed. Quickly assuming a different mood, Krishna then slightly smiled to make their suffering seem insignificant and spoke. So now we hear the next verse. Shukadeva says, what did Krishna say to the gopis? Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. After embracing each of them and inquiring about their well-being, he laughed and spoke as follows. And we'll find out why he was laughing. Prabhupada, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti comments that Krishna expanded himself by his vibhuti shakti to embrace each of the gopis individually, thus waking each of them from her trance. So we heard how they were all like in a trance. So Krishna went and embraced them to wake them, get them out of their trance, physically. I mean, they already embraced mentally, but now he was physically. He inquired, are you now relieved of your pain of separation? And laughed to help lighten their spirits. Now, Jiva Goswami says that he laughed for another reason. He says he was pretending to laugh in order to make his own offenses seem insignificant. So he's kind of laughing. He's trying to, you know, it's okay now. I'm here. Here we are. He's trying to make it, you know, a little lighten the mood. They're kind of in a heavy mood right now, still in separation. And looking at them, he's completely distraught. 41, Lord Krishna said, "My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful, and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living beings together and then separates them. Not me. I'm innocent." Purport. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti reveals the gopi's thoughts. "We are not like you, who with your heart shattered by remembering us day and night gave up all sense enjoyment in your distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all." That's what they're thinking. "In fact, we've been quite happy without you." In response, Krishna here asks whether they resent his ingratitude. 43, Krishna is again on the same preaching. "Just as the wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, wisps of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them all again, so the Creator deals with his created beings in the same way." Not me, of course. I'm innocent. It's the Creator. So now we'll sing this verse. I'll sing one line, 44. This is a very significant... Two verses that we're going to read today are very significant verses. And there are some confidential meanings of these two verses. So we'll sing this verse together. It's one of the verses you're supposed to know. This is verse 44. I'll sing one line, and then you sing one line. Mayi bhakti vibhutanam, mayi bhakti vibhutanam, amitatvaya kalpate, amitatvaya kalpate, dishyaya tasima sneho, dishyaya tasima sneho, bhavatinam malapana, bhavatinam malapana. So I'll just sing in English. "Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life. But by your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude toward me, by which you have obtained me." So, the hidden meaning of this verse, I guess I'll wait. I won't tell you now. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you what it is. We'll find out. Purport. According to Sri Vishnu Chakravarti, the gopis then replied, "But that Supreme Lord you're blaming is none other than yourself." So they're on his case. And, you know, "You're the Lord. You're the one. We know. Oh, most clever of speakers, everyone in the world knows this. Why should we be ignorant of this fact?" Now Krishna says, "All right. If this is true, I must be God. But still I'm conquered by your loving affection." Okay, that may be true. It's my fault, but I'm conquered by your love. And we'll find out what this means a little bit later on. We do have this verse also quoted, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'll read what is described. This is Madhya 8, 88 up until 92. So I'll read the verses from CC. Paripurna Krishna Prapti Epe Mahate Epe Marabash Krishna Kahe Bhavate. Complete attainment of lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Ras, or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is stated in Shiva Bhagavatam. Oh, no, no. He should not come. She should not come. Okay, so... Yeah, now the gopis are going to attain Krishna. And actually, okay, I'll tell you. This verse is a promise of Krishna that they will attain him. And they will attain him the way they want to attain him. Now, what's the way they want to attain him? In Vrindavan. So this is a promise that, yes, you will attain me by your love, by your prema. I will be attained by you. And that means he will come back to Vrindavan. And they will attain him the way they want to attain. Not here at Kurukshetra, but in Vrindavan. Purport. To explain the topmost quality of conjugal love, Sri Krishna's Kaviraj gives the example of material elements. Sky, air, fire, water, and earth. In the sky, there's a quality of sound. In air, there's quality of sound and touch. In fire, there are three qualities, sound, touch, and form. In water, there are four, sound, touch, form, and taste. Finally, in earth, there are five qualities, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And we can see the quality of sky is in all, namely in air, fire, water, and earth. In earth, we can find all the qualities of material nature. The same can be applied to the rasa known as Madhurya rasa, or conjugal love. Conjugal love, there are qualities of neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, and parental affection, as well as those of conjugal love. So the conclusion is, through conjugal love, the Lord is completely satisfied. And he fully agrees to be under the control of the devotee. So Lord Krishna, now this verse is quoted in CC. Lord Krishna told the gopis, "The means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me. And fortunately, you are also thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss." And so Prabhupada explains, the fulfillment of human life is summarized in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 44. This is the goal of the fulfillment of human life, is this verse here. Prabhupada says, two important words, bhakti, devotional service, and amritatva, eternal life. The aim of human life is to attain the natural position of eternal life, and this can be attained only by devotional service. So the last verse. E prema rana rupa nahare pachite yata eva vini hai kohe bhagavate. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the material rasa. Therefore, he always remains a debtor to such devotees. So, what is that verse that says, I cannot repay you? Na pare ham. This is a verse that says that Krishna is always a debtor to those who are in Madhurya Rasa, according to Srila Prabhupada. He cannot repay those. Verse 45. Dear ladies, this is just what they want to hear. I am the beginning and end of all created beings and exist both within and without them. Just as the elements, ether, water, earth, air, and fire, are the beginning and end of all material objects and exist both within and without them. So is that going to make the gopis happy? That Krishna is in, he's in ether, he's in fire. He's in the beginning, he's the end of all material objects. Purport. According to Srila Sridharaswami and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, Lord Krishna implies the following idea in this verse. If you know that I am the Supreme Lord, then there should be no question of your suffering any separation from me, since I pervade all existence. How can we be separated? Your unhappiness must be due to a lack of discrimination. You just can't see me. I'm everywhere. But this year, you just don't see. You have no discrimination. Therefore, please take this instruction from me, which will remove your ignorance. So that's the first thing he says. But then he says another thing. But the truth of the matter is, you gopis were in your previous lives great masters of yoga. Thus, you must already know the science of Gyan Yoga. Furthermore, whether I try to teach this to you in person or through my representatives, such as Uddhava, it will not produce the desired result. Gyan Yoga simply causes suffering for those who are fully immersed in pure love of Godhead. So, I mean, he's saying one thing, but then he's saying, but actually, no, I understand, it's not for you. But then what does he do? He keeps going anyway. Verse 46. In this way, all created beings reside within the basic elements of creation, while the spirit souls pervade the creation, remaining in their own true identity. You should see both of these, the material creation and the self, as manifest within me, the imperishable Supreme Truth. And so purport, one should properly understand the relationships among the material objects of this world, the elements comprising their basic substance, the individual spirit souls, and the one Supreme Lord. So nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness, chapter 13, Bhagavad Gita. The various objects of material enjoyment, such as pots, rivers, and mountains, are manufactured from the basic material elements, earth, water, fire, and so on. These elements pervade material things as their cause, while the spirit souls pervade them in their special role as their enjoyer, Svatmana. And ultimately, the material elements, their products, and the living entities are all manifested within and pervaded by the imperishable, perfectly complete, supreme soul, Krishna. A jnani with realization of these facts should feel no separation from the Lord in any situation. But the gopis of Braj are much more elevated in their Krishna consciousness than ordinary jnanis. Because of their intense love for Krishna and his most human-like, all-attractive aspect as a young cowherd boy, Krishna's internal potency, Yogamaya, covered their knowledge of his majestic aspects, such as his all-pervasiveness. Thus the gopis were able to relish the intense ecstasy caused by their love and separation from him. Only in jest is Sri Krishna ascribing to them a lack of spiritual discrimination. So this is Krishna's joke with the gopis. How come you're not seeing me? I'm there in the earth and the water and the fire and everything. You gopis don't have proper discrimination. But Prabhupada in Krishna book says, this is a very good instruction for us. This is good for us. We should think like this. Because we're not the embracing Krishna in our hearts. We're not in that ecstatic trance of the gopis. So at least we should see Krishna in this world. So Prabhupada says in Krishna book, this important instruction by Lord Krishna to the gopis can be utilized by all devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. The whole philosophy is considered on the basis of inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says he is present everywhere by his impersonal feature. Everything exists in him, but still he's not personally present everywhere. And that's the problem. He may be everywhere, but the gopis want to see him in his personal feature. The cause of manifestation, Prabhupada says, is nothing but a display of Krishna's energy. And because the energy is not different from the energetic, nothing is different from Krishna. When this absolute consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is absent, we are separated from Krishna. But fortunately, if this Krishna consciousness is present, then we are not separated from Krishna. So Prabhupada then says, this sentence is very important. The process of devotional service is the revival of Krishna consciousness. And if the devotee is fortunate enough to understand that the material energy is not separate from Krishna, then he can utilize the material energy and its products in the service of the Lord. And so we need to go through even though we are devotees and we're chanting, we're doing devotional service, but somehow we still see things separately from Krishna. We see this world, we don't see it. When things happen to us, we still see it. That, you know, somehow it's not Krishna. So we're not, that means our Krishna consciousness is not up to the standard, somehow, even of the jnanis. The jnanis, jnana yogis, they can see Krishna, all pervaded, can see him. I am the taste of water and the light of the sun and moon, at least. But we go through our day and we do forget Krishna, it's difficult. So Prabhupada says, in the absence of Krishna consciousness, the forgetful living entity, although part and parcel of Krishna, falsely puts himself in the position of enjoyer of the material world, and being thus implicated in material entanglement, is forced by the material energy to continue his material existence. Although he's forced to act, he falsely thinks he is the all-in-all supreme enjoyer. Then he talks about deity worship. If the devotee knows perfectly the Archa-Vigraha, deity form, is exactly the same, Sachidananda-Vigraha is Krishna himself, his service to the temple deity becomes direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fortunate is the pujari who understands that he is touching Krishna. Fortunate is the devotee who sees the deity and thinks, yes, and he prays, and he understands Krishna is there, and he's answering his prayers. Prabhupada says, similarly, the temple itself, the temple paraphernalia, and the food offered to the deity are also not separate from Krishna. One has to follow the rules and regulations prescribed by the acharyas, and thus, under superior guidance, Krishna realization is fully possible, even in this material existence. So I'll read two more verses from Gopal Champu. And so this is a very interesting comment. And it's a criticism of the gopis. They're making a criticism of how Krishna is talking, how he's speaking. So first, this is the gopis speaking.
What page is this?
On Gopal Champu 921. It's chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. So this is, now we're reviewing the verses from 41 to 46. It's a review of these verses and a criticism of Krishna's speech in these six verses by the gopis. He first showed he was dependent on external circumstances since he was not the Lord. He was controlled because he's not the Lord. So he said, you know, it's the Lord who brings everyone together and separates everyone. And then he gave a lot of nice examples, choice examples. So first Krishna is showing that I'm not the Lord. But then he's saying, okay, I am the Lord. All these things, I'm all-pervading, I'm in everything. Because he is the Lord, he bestows Brahman realization to his devotees alone. So that's the fourth verse. And he awards closeness to himself, which surpasses Brahman realization, to those with prema. So he's saying, I'm not the Lord. Then he's saying, I'm the Lord. And I give Brahman realization to the gyanis, and I give myself to the prema bhaktis. Now the fifth verse, from realizing Brahman, one obtains an eternal position. It's verse 45. And then the sixth verse, he is the one form of happiness as the imperishable truth. Now, because of his disturbed state, he did not understand the irrationality of his words. He's not speaking logically, in other words, is what Jiva Goswami is saying. And the gopis are saying, you're not speaking logically. First you say you're not the Lord, then you say you're the Lord, then you say Brahman, then you say prema. So what, you know, what's, you're not logical. So Krishna was, his mind was disturbed. The gopis' minds were disturbed too. The gopis could not think because of the pain caused by intolerable separation. But still, some of them asked, oh, you who are liberated from all suffering, what are you saying? The statements are not related to each other at all. So some of the gopis could think. Most of them couldn't. But one of them, some of them caught. He said, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. It doesn't make any sense. We don't, you know, but first he says he's helpless. Then he says, as the Lord, he bestows bhakti. And then he praises Brahman. So, you know, how can we follow? And so that is their criticism of criticism of his words. He's not being logical. He's being irrational. And of course, he couldn't think straight. And the gopis couldn't think straight. But some of the gopis caught him. Probably Lalita or who knows. They understood. He's not talking right. He's illogical. He's being illogical. So verse 47. Shukadeva Goswami said, having thus been instructed by Krishna in spiritual matters, the gopis were freed of all tinges of false ego because of their incessant meditation upon him. And with their deepening absorption in him, they came to understand him fully. And so here, Shukadeva says, no, they're getting more absorbed in him. I guess it doesn't matter what he says. He's there. And so they're meditating and they're happy and they're just in trance. And of course, they do come to that point where Krishna's mind becomes their mind. Radharani has that, especially, that her mind and Krishna's mind are none different. And she proved that in one lila with this Prema Samputa. She proved it to Krishna that your mind and my mind are non-different. And so Purport, Srila Prabhupada renders this passage as follows in Krishna. The gopis, having been instructed by Krishna in the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, remained always in Krishna consciousness and thus became liberated from all material contamination. So there's different perspectives of what is going on here. Jiva Goswami has one, Srila Prabhupada has another, and Shukadeva, that they became liberated. They were already liberated, and we'll hear about that later. The consciousness of the living entity who falsely presents himself as the enjoyer of the material world is called jiva kosha, which means imprisonment by the false ego. So all of us have that jiva kosha. Not only the gopis, but anyone who follows these instructions of Krishna becomes immediately freed from the jiva kosha imprisonment. So what instruction did Krishna give? If we think of, Prabhupada is saying, if we think of these instructions of Krishna, we'll be freed from our jiva kosha imprisonment. So what is that important instruction that Krishna is giving us here?
Seeing Krishna everywhere.
Huh?
Seeing Krishna everywhere.
Seeing Krishna everywhere, yes. Always thinking of Krishna. Being in Krishna consciousness. Seeing how Krishna, anything else? Yeah.
Using everything,
yes. So if you see Krishna everywhere, if you see that Krishna is all-pervading, then you use it for him. That means we try to connect everything to Krishna. We try to make the connection. First we may see it intellectually, or in our mind, in our heart, and then we try to physically come on the physical level and connect everything to Krishna. Prabhupada says, a person in full Krishna consciousness is always liberated from false egoism. He utilizes everything for Krishna's service and is not at any time separated from Krishna. So I have a little bit more of from Krishna book, which I think is really important. Of course, it's very important, especially for verse 48. So I'm going to read it before verse 48, so you get the confidential meaning of verse 48. It's coming from Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book first, and then we'll hear it from Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita and from other places. Confidential meaning. Prabhupada says, the gopis are always liberated souls because they are fully in Krishna consciousness. They only pretended to be entangled in household affairs in Vrindavan. Because of their separation from Krishna, he might have asked them to return with him to his capital city, Dwaraka. So he did. He did ask them, why don't you just come back with me? But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, were not interested in the idea of going with Krishna to Dwaraka. They wanted to remain busy in Vrindavan and thus feel the presence of Krishna in every step of their lives. They immediately invited Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. And that is the confidential meaning of the next verse that we're going to read, verse 48. This transcendental, emotional existence of the gopis is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. So this is the essence of our philosophy, Prabhupada is saying. This emotional existence of the gopis is the basic. And what is that? It's separation. Separation from Krishna. The Rath Yatra festival observed by Lord Chaitanya is the emotional process of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that's why the gopis went to Kurukshetra. And as we said yesterday, that's why Nanda went to Kurukshetra and Yashoda. Their purpose is to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. Of course, we'll find out a few chapters later that Nanda didn't want to tell Vasudeva about that, but yes. This is why they went there. The Rath Yatra festival observed by Lord Chaitanya is the emotional process of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani refused to go with Krishna to Dwaraka to enjoy his company in the atmosphere of royal opulence, for she wanted to enjoy his company in the original Vrindavan atmosphere. Lord Krishna, being profoundly attached to the gopis, never goes away from Vrindavan, and the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan remain fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. So that's what Prabhupada said. And we will now read that verse, which is the reply of the gopis to Krishna. After he's given them all this instruction, what will the gopis say? And Prabhupada has already explained it. So now we will sing it together. I will sing one line, because this is also a very important and famous and popular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Prabhupada says, this is the essence of our philosophy, this verse, because it's bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, keeping Krishna in Vrindavan. Ahush chate nalirana bhavadara vrindam Avushyate adhinanabhavaravindo Yogeshwaradhi vichintyamakathabodha Yogeshwaradhi vichintyamakathabodha Samsara kumpapakito paranavalambo Samsara kumpapakito paranavalambo Geham shamapi manasudhiya sadatma Geham shamapi manasudhiya sadatma The gopis spoke thus, Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. So, for so many years I was thinking, oh, that's exactly what they meant. But there's a lot more behind it when you study it. For us, this is true. We are entangled and we want to keep the lotus feet of Krishna in our heart always. But for them, there's another meaning. So let's read the purport from the second paragraph. Revealing the jealous mood in which the gopis spoke these deceptively reverential words, Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti gives their statements as follows. O Supreme Lord, O directly manifest Super Soul, O crest jewel of instructors in definitive knowledge, you were aware of our excessive attachment to home, property, and family. Therefore, you previously had Uddhava instruct us in the knowledge that dispels ignorance, and now you have done so yourself. Mm. So you know we're so attached to our family, right? How attached? They're not attached. They left everything for Krishna. Yes, and that's why you're giving us this knowledge, to free us from our attachments. And you sent Uddhava to give us the same knowledge. In this way, you have purified our hearts of contamination, and as a result, we understand your pure love for us, free from any motivation other than assuring our liberation. But we are only unintelligent coward women. How can this knowledge remain fixed in our hearts? We cannot even meditate steadily on your feet, to focus of realization for great souls like Lord Brahma. Of course they can't meditate on his feet. They're meditating a lot more than his feet. Mm-hmm. The yogis, for the yogis it's the feet, for the yogis and gyanis and for us, but for the gopis it's, you know, everything. How can they just think of his feet? Of course they do think of his feet too. They think how his feet are hurt and by the stones when he goes on the path. And so they say, please be merciful to us and somehow make it possible for us to concentrate on you even a little. We are still suffering the reactions of our own fruit of work. So how can we meditate on you, the goal of great yogis? Such yogis are immeasurably wise, but we are mere feeble-minded women. Please, do something to get us out of this deep well of material life. And what is that something they want him to do? Put your feet in Vrindavan, because that's where their heart is. They're saying, okay, we want to see your feet, your lotus feet in our heart. But where's their heart? Mm. Their heart is Vrindavan. That means, your feet in our heart means your feet in Vrindavan. That's what they're trying to tell him. Means Ralph Yatra. Means, Prabhupada is saying, this is the emotional process of the gopis taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. So then the purport goes on. Pure devotees are never motivated by a desire for material elevation or spiritual liberation. And even if the Lord offers them such benedictions, the devotees often refuse to accept them. Stated by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto. Akinchit sarva dhira bhakta hikanti no mama vanchantyapi ayatitam kaivalyam apunapravam. Because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. It is quite appropriate, therefore, the gopis respond with a trace of jealous anger to Lord Krishna's attempt at teaching them Jnana Yoga. So then, Vishnu Chakravarti gives the real reply of the gopis, what the real meaning is, and that is in the next paragraph. O sun, means rising sun, who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. Mm. So you're burning us. First, you burned us by separation, now you're burning us with this knowledge. We are Chikora birds, who can subsist only in the moonlight radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us, and in this way, bring us back to life. And so the philosophy that Krishna is speaking is like the sun. We've already been scorched enough by separation. So we need the moon, not the sun. We need the moonlight from your face in union. Now we need union. We've had enough of separation. Now we need union with you. And if he says, come to Dwarka, there we shall enjoy together. They reply that Sri Vrindavan is their home, and they are too attached to it for them to take up residence anywhere else. Only there, the gopis imply, can Krishna attract them by wearing peacock feathers in his turban and playing enchanting music with his flute. Only by his appearing again in Vrindavan can the gopis be saved, not by any other kind of meditation on him or theoretical knowledge of the self. So this knowledge is not going to save them. These instructions are not for the gopis. And the only thing that's going to save them is Krishna going back, and that is the confidential meaning. But now I'm going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is in this mood of Radharani, meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra. So there's one verse spoken by Srimati Radharani that appears in Padyavali, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Piyasoyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Minikas Tatam Sara Tataridam Pitayo Sangamavasukam Tatapyantake Namatura Murdi Panchamatishe Maname Kamlin Dipolina Vipina Spirayachi. My dear friend, Radharani says, now I've met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still, I would like to go to the bank of the Jamuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. So then, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, O devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Lord Chaitanya was thinking in this way after having seen the Jagannath deity. Subject of his thoughts was Srimati Radharani, who met Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. Although she met Krishna there, she was nonetheless thinking of him in the following way. Raja Vesha Hati Ghora Manusha Kahan Kaha Gopa Vesha Kaha Nirjan Vrindavan. She thought of him in the calm and quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy. But at Kurukshetra, he was in a royal dress and was accompanied by elephants, horses, and crowds of men. Thus, the atmosphere was not congenial for their meeting. Thus, meeting with Krishna and thinking of the Vrindavan atmosphere, Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. Not only do they want to take Krishna, she wants Krishna to take her back to Vrindavan and enjoy there. The gopis thought, dear Lord, now here again, this is verse 48, if your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled. So they were attracted to Krishna not as a sophisticated king, but as a beautiful cowherd boy. And so Srila Prabhupada says that the gopis were not thinking about family or liberation or entanglement in this world. They were unknown. These thoughts were unknown, even though that's what they're saying in verse 48. They're not expert in executing even these kind of activities. And they're not very good at it in their household affairs. already transcendentally enlightened, they simply engage their purified senses in the service of the Lord in the remote village of Vrindavan. Prabhupada says, the gopis are not interested in dry speculation, in the arts, in music, or other conditions of material life. So material music, I mean, they make music for Krishna and arts for Krishna. They are bereft of all understanding of material enjoyment and renunciation. No karma, no jnana. Their only desire is to see Krishna return and enjoy spiritual transcendental pastimes with them. Gopis simply want him to stay in Vrindavan so they can render service unto him for his pleasure. Not even a tinge of personal sense gratification. So you might think, oh, the gopis are suffering in separation from Krishna, and they want him to come back and make them happy. No. They are suffering because they know Krishna's not happy in Dwarka. He's not happy there with all those queens. Only Radharani can make Krishna happy. So they're suffering because they know Krishna is also unhappy. They want him to come back to Vrindavan so they can make him happy. They're not thinking, oh, we are away. Of course they're feeling separation. They're suffering. But their suffering is nothing compared to how they're thinking Krishna is suffering. And that's what is revealed here by Srila Prabhupada. Not a tinge of personal sense gratification. So in one verse, Sri Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of this verse of Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. So that verse which I quoted, Vyasayam, is the meaning of this verse 48. Vyasayam. That's in Madhya 176. So, absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful, his body curved in three places. So, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radharani, wanted to see Lord Jagannath as Shamsundar. Just as Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Lord Chaitanya, in his ecstasy, talked crazily and inconsistently, day and night. So Lord Chaitanya had this mood. Prabhupada explains, this unmad, madness, is not ordinary madness. When Lord Chaitanya talked inconsistently like a crazy fellow, he was in the transcendental ecstasy of love. In the highest ecstasy, there's a feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. When the enchanter and enchanted become separated, mohana, or bewilderment, occurs. When so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned. All the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifest. And when they are manifest, one appears inconceivably crazy. This is called transcendental madness. In this state, there is imaginative talking, and one experiences emotions like those of a madman. The madness of Radharani was explained to Krishna by Uddhava, who said, my dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the groves of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus she has become like a crazy woman. The last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's life were passed in this transcendental craziness. 12 years of madness. Of course, the gopis were having much more than that because Krishna was away for at least 25 years from until they met him in Kurukshetra. So then the part, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 13. So I'll start reading that, and I don't know, we'll see how far we get until the time is up, and then we'll have a break. Maybe I can finish it, maybe not. We'll see. So Lord Chaitanya is dancing in Rathyatra, and he's explaining this verse also. The emotions of Radharani meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra, because Rathyatra is bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya said, Seto parana natapaina yatalagi madana dahane jurigena. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. So Prabhupada said, this song refers to Radharani's meeting with Krishna at Kurukshetra. So this was a song Lord Chaitanya was always singing during Rathyatra, and it was, he's in that mood when Lord Chaitanya dances in front of Lord Jagannath. Rathyatra, he's He's in this mood that Radharani was in when she met Krishna at Kurukshetra. It's a song of separation from Krishna. She said, "Now I have gained the Lord of my life. In his absence I was being burned by the arrow of Cupid, and thus I was withering away. Now I have my life again." When Sri Damodar was singing this verse loudly, Lord Chaitanya began dancing. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly, while the son of Mother Sachi went ahead and danced in front. While dancing and singing, all the devotees in front of Lord Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Lord Chaitanya then went to the end of the procession with the Sankirtan performers. His eyes and mind fully absorbed in Lord Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya began to play the drama of the song with his two arms. Separation. When he was dramatically enacting the song, he would sometimes fall behind in the procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would slowly start again. Thus, there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong, he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describes the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya as follows. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Krishna, son of Maharajananda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwarka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister and others from Dwarka, he again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya is Radha Bhava Duti Subalita, Krishna himself assuming the part of Radharani, in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath is Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya is Radharani. Lord Chaitanya's leading Lord Jagannath toward the Gundisha temple corresponded to Radharani's leading Krishna toward Vrindavan. Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri is taken as the kingdom of Dwarka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. But Krishna was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Kshetra is a place of Aishwarya Leela, just as Vrindavan is a place of Madhurya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is following the rear of the Rath, indicated Lord Jagannath Krishna was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So when he would fall behind the cart, it meant, "You're forgetting us." In the role of Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Rath cart, Jagannath, Krishna, understood the mind of Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Radharani he had not forgotten. So when the Rath cart stops, it's showing that he did not forget Radharani in Vrindavan. So he would stop the forward march of the Rath and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed without the ecstasy of Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasundar, in his ecstasy of Radharani, immediately came forward to Krishna. So Lord Jagannath was waiting for Radharani, and then Radharani ran forward to Krishna. So this is going on during Rathiyatra with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Radharani. So then Lord Chaitanya was dancing. He recited another song. Again, it's in Sri Rupa Goswami. It's in Padyavali. Ya kumara hara sevahi vadastari vachai vishapas tichami vitamayati suravaya prakatam vani laha sachai vasvi tatapi tapasira kavya parani lavita vivagadi sivaya sitaru tamechi kasavut pangate. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and then the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vedasa tree. That is my desire. This verse was recited by Lord Chaitanya again and again, but for Sri Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met Krishna in Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed, he asked Surya Damodar to sing this verse. And he spoke to Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya. He's Radharani, he's speaking. You are the same Krishna, I am the same Radharani. We're meeting again in the same way we met in the beginning of our lives. So then he speaks some verses. Tatapya namanna hare vrindavane udai kora apanacharan. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan. I wish you'll please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Yaha lokaran yaha ki kore rattadani taha pusparan yabringa pikanara shmini. In Kukyatra, there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan, there are flower gardens, and the humming of the bees and chirping of the birds can be heard. Iha rajivesh shangyesha kyatyaran taha gopavesh shangye mureni paran. Here at Kukyatra, you're dressed like a royal prince accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appear just like a cowherd boy, accompanied by your beautiful flute. Raja Tama Sangeje Shuka Aswaran She Shuksha Mudreha Nahi Epikon. Here, there's not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. So they're meeting, but it's not a very happy meeting because it's not the same. It's not the same as Vrindavan. But it... Amalaya punapila karha vrindavane chabayama manobansha kvaita purane. We therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. In that ecstatic mood, Lord Chaitanya recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. The meaning of those verses was known to Srupa Damodar, but he did not reveal it. However, Srila Rupa Goswami has broadcast the meaning. So, we are very fortunate to be Rupanugas, and we can get the meaning, the essence of the philosophy has been given to us. Nectar of devotion. Nectar of devotion. While dancing, he began to recite the following verse, and this is verse 48. Ahas chate nalilina bhagadavindam yogeshwarai vidivichintyam agathavotam samsara kupapatito taranavanam geham jishamapi manasya sadanam. So this very significant verse, it's the heart of Radharani, this verse, and the heart of Lord Chaitanya when he's dancing in Rath Yatra, this verse 48. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. So now you have heard much about this. What does it mean that these lotus feet should be awakened in our hearts? Yes, Lakshmi.
Lotus feet should go to Vrindavan.
Lotus feet should go to Vrindavan. Yeah, that is our heart. So therefore, you must come to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, the gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga, which Krishna was trying to explain to them. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga. Unless they were forced, they never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. This is for the yogis. This is for the demigods. This is for the gyanis. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. You know, what's the use of meditation? Just looking at his feet, you know, standing and looking, thinking. I mean, for us it's good, but... Sometimes they regretted their breasts were so hard, fearing Krishna might not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When those lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in the Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis were pained and began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always, and in this way their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. So I'll keep reading, we still have a little more time. Anyar hidoyamon Anyar hidoyamon Maramon Vrindavan Mane bane ekha kori jane Tahato marpadadoya Karava javiya kodaya Speaking in the mood of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya said, for most people, the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. So my mind is Vrindavan. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, Radharani talking to Krishna, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy. Purport. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. So how many of us have a Vrindavan mind? Yes. It will take some time, maybe. Even though we're here in Vrindavan, we're in Vrindavan, but we're not in Vrindavan. Our mind is not in Vrindavan. That was Prabhupada, he told his disciples. One disciple said, what's the difference between Gokul and Goloka? And Prabhupada said, there's no difference, but your mind is in America. So that's us, unfortunate souls, but at least we're trying, at least for a few minutes or hours to hear. In other words, when one's mind is completely free from all material desires and engaged only in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. So it's a question of not only your mind, but your also engagement in service of the Lord. Baja amarasadam tahato marasandam napayena ravijivam. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission, Radharani speaking, as Lord Chaitanya is Radharani. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, it will be very difficult for me to keep my life. So Prabhupada said, only when the mind is free from designation can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this jiva kosha, this imprisonment of our false ego, has to go. Then we can desire Krishna's association. The mind must have some occupation. If a person is to be free of material things, his mind cannot be vacant. There must be subject matters for thinking, feeling, and willing. Now here's a wonderful sentence. Unless the mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. So thinking, feeling, and willing. Thinking of Krishna, feeling for Krishna, and desiring or willing to serve Krishna. Then that's how we have to do this. Those who have given up all material activities and cease thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. Without Krishna, one cannot live. Just as a person cannot live without some enjoyment for his mind. So here on the mental platform. Purve utava dvare ebe sakshata amare yoga gyane kvahila hukai tumi vitakta kripa amare janava amara kripa more yakshe kahike na jujai. My dear Krishna, formerly, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There's no place in my mind for Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. Although you know me very well, you're still instructing me in Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. It is not right for you to do so. Chitta kari toma hoite bishai chani lagai. Yatna kori nari haribai tare dhyana shikha kolaho loka hasaya maro. Stana stana nakara chari. Lord Chaitanya continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I'm naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way, you're killing me. It's not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. It's always Radharani saying, I'm already thinking of you 24 hours. Now you're telling me to meditate on your lotus feet. What are you trying to tell me? So, Prabhupada's purport on that. Sri Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Samatasundi. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma vyanagatam anukulyen krishna shunyam bhakti rupatamam. For a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or cultivation of speculative knowledge. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. So how can a pure devotee think about dhyana and jnana? It's not part of his mentality. That is the characteristic of a pure devotee. He's transcendental to all fruitive activities, speculative philosophy, and mystic yoga meditation. Gopis therefore express themselves as follows. So this philosophy of all pervasiveness is not for them. Nahi gopi yogeshara padakamalatama dhyana kori bhai vishantosh tomar bhakya paripati taramati kupirati The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. So Radharani is angry with Krishna, telling her about mystic yoga. Dehasmiti nahi cha sansara kupahaka tahalete na chai utha virapa samudrajane kamati mindileke kaupikaneneha thalapa. Lord Chaitanya said, the gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the tumingala fish of their ambition to serve you. So they want service. They don't want meditation. They want service. This is their... The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these tumingala fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? Gopis do not want liberation desired by yogis and jnanis, for they're already liberated from the ocean material existence. So Lord Chaitanya is now paying back the gopis. Krishna could not pay them back. But now, Krishna could not understand. When they came to him, when he came back to them at the end of the rasa dance, he could not understand what they were thinking. But now, as Lord Chaitanya, he's paying them back. He's paying his debt to the gopis because he is understanding the gopis. And not only he's understanding, he's feeling what they're feeling, Lord Chaitanya. So here he says, Vrindavana Govardhana Jamuna Pumina Pama She Kunjera Saripalina She Bhajira Vrachajan Namato Pita Manipugan Boro Chitra Kamane Pasharila. It's amazing you've forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it you've forgotten your father, mother, and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of Jamuna, and the forest where you enjoy the Rasa dance? Krishna, you're certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft hearted, and merciful. I know there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you, yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. So she's not blaming Krishna here, she's blaming herself. Na kani apanatu deki brajeshwari mo Vraja jane vidaya vidare Kiva mara vraja vashi Kiva jiyao vraja vashi Kano jiyao dukha samayi pare. do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Yashoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all, or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? Tomaraji anyavesh anyashamya anyadesh Vaja jane kabu nahi pai Vaja bhumi charipinane Tomanage hilamare Vaja jane pi kabu upai The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they are all dying. What is their condition to be? Tumi brajir jivan, brajarajir praya pranatam, tumi brajir shakalashimbal, krip arja tomaraman, shiji aokatam, brajayudai karao nijapal. My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. Purport. Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness at being separated from Krishna. She wanted to evoke Krishna's feelings for the condition of all the others in Vrindavan Dham. Mother Yashoda, Maharaj Nanda, cowherd boys, gopis, birds, and bees on the banks of Jamuna, water of Jamuna, trees, forests, and all other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he invited Lord Jagannath Krishna to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of Rath Yatra, cars going from Jagannath Puri to Gundicha Temple. So I can stop here now, and after the break, we can have a break. After the break, we will hear Krishna's reply through the mouth of Lord Chaitanya. What is Krishna going to say in response from his heart? Adi Purush?
You read one purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
This is from Madhya 138. It starts by saying that only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Isn't it?
It's quite striking.
Yeah, I know.
At the same time, further on, in the same purport, Prabhupada says that we have to fill the mind with desires to feelings for Krishna, thoughts of Krishna, desire to serve Krishna, and so on. But if the mind is filled with, is not free from designations, how can we do that?
Well,
it seems like a loop.
Yeah.
To desire the association, you have to be free from designations, and to be free from
designations, we
have to fill it with feelings and thoughts and so forth.
Therefore, sadhana bhakti.
Yeah, I think like that.
Therefore,
different levels.
Therefore, sadhana bhakti. I mean, what I took that first statement to mean, only when the mind is free from designation can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the way I took that was, only when the mind is free can we desire like the gopis. That association. That's what the verse said. Mm-hmm. I wish your association in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So what I took that sentence to mean is Raghunandhu Bhakti. That this is only when we're completely free can we desire like the gopis, like Lord Chaitanya is saying here. But then later on he's telling, okay, maybe you don't have this. So therefore we have to do our sadhana bhakti. We have to fill our minds. Otherwise we'll be in a material. If a person is to be free, then Prabhupada tells us, okay, maybe you're not on that level, but this is what you have to do to get there. I did take that it was on the highest level, that first sentence. And then, but Prabhupada is merciful, okay, these people are not going to be able to do that, so let me give them a way to, they won't feel so bad. You know, we'll read that, we say, oh no, if I'm not free from all designation, I can't.
I'll never think of Krishna then. How will I ever think of how desire association of Krishna? I'm still, you know. So then he says, okay, then you do this. Even on sadhana bhakti, we've given up our material activities. I mean, the last sentence. Those who have given up all material activities and cease thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. So it's not like you're on the highest. Because those who are on the highest, they can't stop thinking. But we should retain the ambition to think of Krishna. So if you can't desire his association, we should have the desire. Here it says, you can't desire, then desire. To have the desire.
Desire to
desire. He says that right there. Retain the ambition to think of Krishna. So desire to desire. Yeah, Prashanta.
Yeah, in order to think of Krishna the way the gopis did, it requires a change of identification.
Yes, Swarup City.
Because
it requires a complete
has
change.
To be in the body of, in the identification of the Braja Gopi.
Yeah.
Completely
yeah, some, you
from
have,
our present identification.
If we were to start thinking like that, everyone would say, what's wrong with you? You know, what happened to you? What did you eat? Or what drug did you take? We start, I mean, of course, but there are many people in Vrindavan who are doing that, who are imitating, but are not on the level. But they're, yes, Abhay?
It's like Asabanda, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Asabanda.
Ashabanta.
Yes,
hoping against
hope.
You
don't feel qualified, you actually still want to become a pure devotee.
But this is like the essence of Krishna consciousness that's being given to us. It's so fortunate. And it's hidden in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, you know, I heard that statement so many years. I've been reading Krishna book 40 years, but not until I read, then I put Lord together with Lord Chaitanya's, then, wow. You understand what's going on here. Lotus feet in the heart. And you say, okay, you have to meditate with the lotus feet in the heart. No, it's not what they wanted. Okay, anything? Yes, Hare Krishna?
If someone spoke like this in a similar way to somebody nowadays, you would see this as some kind of a mental terrorism.
Mental what?
Terrorism.
Terrorism.
They're trying to make the person feel very guilty.
Oh, okay. If the way the gopis are speaking to Krishna is mental terrorism.
So how is it?
Yeah, well, look what he did to them. I mean, it's the least they can do. I'm with them. Look what he did. And he left them and for how many years? And now they're meeting for, you know, who knows, after so many years of he... You know, look, he you know, he left them in the middle of their lila. And so now they're speaking some words, but, you know, if you tell them the whole, you look at the whole story, then, you know, you've got to go with the gopis.
now we're in this two-way, we don't.
Got to go with the gopis.
No, I'm just looking at it objectively.
Challenge yours.
No, I mean, objectively, you just look at what he did.
So how
does Hare Krishna... doesn't sink in.
No, I
still
think
maybe it's side with Krishna.
You're with the gopas, right?
No, I accept, but what I'm wondering is, my problem is it seems too similar to what we see in this world.
What? Okay, give an example.
Well, the proverbial mother who tries to make her children feel guilty, oh, you didn't come for this.
The Jewish mother.
Jewish
guilt trip.
Yeah.
You never write, you never send a letter, I never hear from you.
Oh, like... the son calls the mother says, oh, I didn't eat for 40 days. And my mother, how come? Oh, I just wanted to keep my mouth free in case you call.
Like I know, there was one, you know, I mean, many devotees, it's the mother hears, you're becoming a Hare Krishna, I'll commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is it different?
How is it different? The difference is that the relationships in this world are temporary, and they're based on a temporary misidentification of the body with the self.
And egoism.
And egoism, yes.
Isn't it also with the basis of the Jewish guilt trip is,
you know better.
It's personal sense gratification.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what's in it for me? Whereas the gopis are thinking you should come back to Vrindavan because
so we can
make you happy.
Yeah.
Because you can't be fully satisfied in any other situation.
Yeah. There's not a tinge of personal sense gratification. Yeah. That's the difference. The motivation is the difference, in other words.
Isn't it what all the parents think? Is this for your benefit?
Yes, they do. And interestingly, that Prabhupada also says that the love between a parent and a child is the closest thing.
I just really want
to take care of you, and I'm really worried about you, and I really can't eat unless you really call me. But some parents are like that.
Yeah, but the kid is, he says, I got to be a man now, like my son, I've got to, it doesn't matter if I don't eat, three meals a day, at least I have to do it myself, I have to become an individual, I have to assert my individuality.
And that's why we're in the material world.
That's why we're in the material world, anyway, but, I the difference is motivation, that's a good point there. Yeah, I think it's good that you brought that up. Yes, Nanda?
So my confusion is, isn't Krishna actually trying to get the gopis to understand that I am all-pervading, and it is the same? If you have that intense meditation on me, it is the same. Just like there's the example in Nectar of Devotion of the South Indian Brahmin who meditated on his service, and the Lord came and took him. He was so pleased. He went to Vaikuntha. So, isn't he... But if you, in Gopal Champu, it's a lot about that in there. Spurti meditation, that I am, when you're meditating on me that intensely, that is me, but you don't believe it, therefore you suffer.
Yeah.
But
was it Spurti, he actually went there every night.
Yeah.
He went there every night, and every night they were enjoying together. It's not like, and he said, that's why when he said, don't you realize I'm there. It's not the all-pervasive thing. And that wouldn't make them... That Swirti won't make them happy. Just see, Swirti means you get a glimpse.
Yeah, it's cool.
You get a glimpse. But glimpse is... What's a glimpse worth, And they want full time. They want everything. They want, face-to-face and, you're here and it's like it was before. Not like, okay, we're here and you're there and we're thinking of you. It's not the same. It's the same for them. Actually, it is the same because he does go there every night.
But they don't believe it.
Yeah, they don't believe it. They want him there in person, and that's the only thing that will make them. This all pervasiveness is not going to. It's not going to appeal. It's not going to appeal to them. I mean, there's so much beyond that. How can they? It's going down to a lower level, actually.
Well, all pervasiveness that the yogis, that's totally understandable because there's nothing personal there. But they and they are obviously way beyond that. But Krishna, that all his power to be there in their meditation,
it still is meditation, and that's not what they want. They want him there. And we know, and he will reveal his mind after the break that, actually I'm also suffering in your absence. And that's why they want him to know. As we brought up.
The all-pervasive form of Krishna is Vishnu.
Yeah.
So he's all-pervasive
as Vishnu.
As Vishnu. They don't want Vishnu.
They don't want Vishnu. Yes.
Krishna married 16,000 gopis and they went to Dwarka.
That was after.
They don't want to go to Dwarka, they want to remain in Vrindavan. Is that the case?
Yeah, if you want to get into the technical thing, Krishna and the gopis never leave Vrindavan. And the ones who went to Dwarka, we read that, it was the Swakya, ones who wanted to get married. But the ones who are eternally in Parakyaras, they didn't go to Dwarka. It was, again, expansion of Radharani, expansion of the gopis. It wasn't the original. The original never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna and the Radharani, the originals never leave Vrindavan. If you hear them about them going to Dwarka, then it's not the originals. Yeah.
I was just thinking more about Adi Purush Prabhu was saying about the difference between the material realm and the spiritual realm. So in the spiritual realm, it's happening on a spontaneous level.
Yeah.
And on the material realm, there's analysis on what you did and how you should have done it, and this is love and this is not love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a very interesting thing which, you know, in this, that Naparayam, Krishna and Vrindavan, Radhani says, if you analyze love, or if you don't analyze love, the maiden of prema runs away.
Mm.
If you analyze it, or if you decide not to analyze it, yeah, love is gone.
Yeah.
If you analyze, no, this is love, or this is not love, or you say, okay, I'm not going to analyze it. So in the material realm, it's just, it's not on a spontaneous level.
Mm.
That's what I feel.
Yeah, that's one point. One point is not spontaneous. Another point is motivated. It's motivated. So it's lust, basically.
Yes.
Covered.
Different lust. Level, maybe.
Different levels, right. Yeah. The mother may be lust. But she's also, I mean, there's expectations with the mother. There's expectations, and when the expectations are not met, then you feel disappointed and frustrated and all these things. So just to have no expectations is a very high level of, you know, that's where the gopis are, no expectations. But they do have a desire, and that is to make Krishna happy. So that's their desire, that's their ambition, to make Krishna happy. Okay, we'll break.